On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Boy,
hold on tight.
Yeah.
Things can get a bit weird.
All right.
If you like that sort of thing.
All right. Now don't talk, all right? Just let me do my...
Whatever.
Morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am a pirate today. How does a pirate refer to himself? Ouch, ouch, ouch. Hey, that's not a pimple. Hey, wait a minute. How you doing? Good to be with you. My name is Ron Van Dam. That's what they call me. I've been going by that name for quite some time now, with exuberance and lust. How are you? Okay, we'll take your phone calls now. I'm not taking your phone calls. I'm not taking your phone calls. Hey, you know what? I'm not taking your phone calls. You can call all you want, but I'm not taking your phone calls. Hey, Ron, can you help me? I broke up with my girlfriend. Hey, you know what? I'm not taking your phone calls. So you can try. You can call me. I'm not taking your phone calls. I'm going to treat you like a telemarketer, and I'm just going to hang up on you. I'm sorry, but I'm not taking your phone calls. I don't even know what the number is that you could call me. Pick a number of someone that you don't like, call them, and I won't answer. How about that? That's a deal we've got. What happens if you dial 411? Has anybody tried that recently? When I was growing up, as just a knee-high to a Reese's monkey, 411 was what you dialed in order to get information. I don't think that works anymore. I think when you dial 411, I don't know for sure. I don't have a phone in front of me because I don't take phone calls. I don't have a phone in front of me, but I venture to say if I dialed 411, try it yourself. I don't give a shit. Try it yourself. If you dial 411 from your cell phone, I think you will get your cell phone provider who will answer the phone and say, why the hell are you dialing 411? Can't you Google things? I miss 411. It used to be free. You would dial 411. Who wouldn't remember that? You know, 911 is when you have an emergency. 411 is when you don't. And it was information, and you could get information from, I don't know who answered the phone, some guy named Bob or some woman named Mary or something. They would go, information, and you would say, yeah, like, is it going to rain today? And they'd say, no, they're not that kind of information. But they would find the number for you. Yeah, I want to speak to Bob Schwartz, Copley Street, New York, New York. Okay, that number is 212-627. Thank you, information. Shall I connect you? Oh, yeah. You do that, too? We're 411. You're happy phone people. Whenever you need something on the phone, you call us 411. Well, we take phone calls. That was a wonderful service, and it was absolutely free. And then eventually, because there became so many people on Earth, they said you can make like 20 411 calls per month, and all of a sudden, there's no more 411. So I don't know what happens when you dial that now. I think your phone provider on a cell phone will answer, or your phone provider on your regular landline. What the hell is that? What is a landline, by the way? No one's got those things anymore. A home phone. What's your home phone? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a home phone. What? Yeah, no one has home phones anymore. They just have cell phones. Those that have home phones, it's called a landline. I guess it's a line you have once you get back to land. All of a sudden, we're all sea captains, and landline. I got to get back to my landline. Everything's all screwed up. I don't know what's happened. I went to bed, woke up the next morning, and everything was screwed up. I all of a sudden, everything was different. Everything was different all of a sudden. There was no more information, no more phone booths. I mean, everything was changed. The only thing I can count on and hold on to for the past couple of decades is AOL. My God, thank God AOL is still around. It is the only identity I have with the past at this point. There's nothing else. America Online, and it's just as good as Gmail. Does G stand for Google Mail? I don't know. See, I play stupid on this show, because if I knew everything, I'd be pompous. I'd rather people say, Ron, you don't seem to know anything, as opposed to, Ron, you pompous pig asshole. I don't want to be that guy. So as long as I have a choice, and I only do have two choices, that's the road I'm taking. The road of wonderment. I don't like Gmail. I don't like the way it looks. I'm used to AOL. I'm used to wearing pants. You know what I'm saying? If everybody said, okay, no more pants, we're all going to be dressing in little bags, I would say, no, I want to keep wearing pants. I don't care what you, I don't, not, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So call me. Tom Brady has been slapped, man. Pretty boy's been slapped in the face by the NFL, the National Fishing Line. Oh, yeah, man. Pretty boy Brady. And they're slapping him because he's the NFL superstar. He's an attractive man. And don't take this the wrong way, but he's an attractive man. But when you're an attractive man, you start to turn a little bit toward the conceited. You're going down the conceited road. He doesn't even call himself attractive, but as long as people do, he starts to look conceited, even though he didn't say anything. He's been he's being suspended from the first four games of the next NFL season for the Patriots, which means. They're not going to win the Super Bowl next year because it ain't going to happen. So people are pissed about it, and the team is being fined $1 million, which to them is like, okay. You know that little tray when you go to a convenience store where people put their pennies in there because they just like it's too much of an effort to put the penny in your pocket and take it out again. So give a penny, take a penny, I think is what they call it. Well, this is give a million, take a million. To the Patriots, this is like one of those pennies in that little dish. It means nothing to them. $1 million? Seriously? Come on. I've had sandwiches more expensive than that. So being fine there. And draft picks that you cannot pick your draft. You're going to get whatever draft beer they're serving you. Yeah, they're for the next 2 years. They're going to screw up your draft picks. They're going to punish this team because they somebody on the team apparently was deflating their balls. And I'm not even going to make a joke about that because everybody's done that already. Every team deflates balls or turns their footballs into the perfect feel for a quarterback. They all do it. But nobody complained about it until this, Colts game, I think it was, Indianapolis Colts. I totally don't care because I'm not into any sport with any great enthusiasm. But I do think from a legal aspect, this is kind of weird because in the report from the National Fishing Line, they actually say that Brady probably knew about it. Yeah, so we're going to screw him because he probably knew. Tom Brady has before tomorrow to appeal this, and you don't go to an appellate court. You go to the head of the NFL, the guy that actually handed out the fine to begin with, and you appeal to him. This is democracy at work, ladies and gentlemen. You're fired. Well, can I appeal that? Sure, go on. Talk to me. I don't want to be fired. Hey, you're fired. There's your appeal, man. Take a walk. There's no appeal. This is communism as far as the NFL is concerned, the National Fishing Line. So poor little Tom Brady. What a sad, sad life he has in his 2,000 room mansion with his model wife, his beautiful children, and his billions of dollars. Oh my God, I hope you're all right, Tom. I hope you're okay. I think Tom Brady's more concerned about getting a little scratch on his cheek, ruining his image, as opposed to playing football. I know the guy loves to play football, but let's face it now, this Tom Brady guy can pretty much get any job he wants. I mean, if he wants to work for a landscaper, he can do it. If he wants to stand behind the counter at Wendy's, I believe he's got that job in the bag, without any prior experience. I really believe that. The guy's going to be rich forever anyway with his endorsements, and he can be a sportscaster. He can own his own pen company. I mean, seriously, this guy's got it made. So boo-hoo-hoo for Tom Brady. And boo-hoo-hoo for New England sports fans. Get over it. The guy's going to be quitting in a few years anyway, so this is just a legacy. This is not a legacy. This is stupid. Because the fact is, and I think most people in New England know this, the fact is that Tom Brady is hated throughout the rest of the country, because throughout the rest of the country, sports fans love their own sports teams in their own cities, and an opposing team that is doing so well, like the New England Patriots, become your enemies. And the star of the enemy team would be Tom Brady, so everybody hates Tom Brady. Also because he's damn good looking and has a beautiful model wife and a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful existence. People hate that. They do. They go, oh, he's got it too good. That is not fair. That's not democracy. You have to spread those good looks amongst all of us. It's no fair that he's so good looking and has such a great model looking wife. That's not fair to us. So this, again, falls under the category that I just don't care. I don't care. Good for him. I don't care. Who cares? I don't even want to keep talking about it because who cares? I truly don't care. I totally don't care. If I were into sports, would I care? No. If I were secretly in love with Tom Brady, would I care? Yeah, I would. May peace be with you. Oh, and by the way, also with you. I videotape a lot of weddings wedding video production company. And we do a lot of weddings. And I go to church almost every week, but they have to pay me to go. My favorite part of these church services is when the priest stands on the pulpit of love and looks out amongst the congregation and says, "May peace be with you." And the congregation, some of them, say back to the priest, "And also with you." And I find that, really nice. You know, it's just nice. And the priest should say, "Well, and with you," and then the congregation goes, "And with you, may peace be with you, and also with you, and you, and also with you." why I wanted to be a priest at one point. No, it's not for the children. I wanted to be a priest at one point because of the commanding Simon Says abilities of the priest. To me, church is like playing Simon Says. The priest, who is the leader, stands up in front of all these people and says, "Please rise." And they do. They get up. And then the priest says, "Please be seated." And they all sit down. I would go further with that. I would say, touch your nose. Didn't say Simon Says. All right, please be seated. Please kneel. All right. Please go into your pockets and give me $5. All right. Okay. Please cook dinner for me.
Oh, yes. Yes. And also with you.
Please spit shine my shoes. Oh, okay. Please turn around 3 times, touch your nose, and then kiss the person next to you. Please go out and get me a sandwich. What power. I love the power of the priest. And then they're able to actually do confession, which I find to be an amazing thing, where you can sit in this tiny little closet and somebody comes into the tiny little closet next to you and there's a little cutout in the wall, and that person will tell you all their problems. And all you have to do is pretty much sit there and go, I think it's wonderful. I would love that job. I understand it doesn't pay too well, but you get room and board. But I was like, what a wonderful thing. And your boss is God, and God doesn't fire people a lot, you know? God pretty much just says, you know, you're running the deal here. It's nice, man. It's nice. You get air conditioning and heat. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And you like wine? They have that there, that you actually can sit there and drink wine all day. And, yeah, crackers, too. Okay, I've now pissed off a lot of religious people, but I'm just trying to create some humor that obviously didn't materialize in the way that I thought it might. It did not materialize.
Thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way on purpose? Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds? Yeah, actually, you know, you probably did. Okay, it's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Just go with it.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
Can we put away the guns tonight? It's kind of worrying that I'm dying to lie to you. Made your point 1,000 times and I'm not afraid to lose. Step away from the stereo, you're cringing that tune too loud and it hurts.
You like ice cream? Do you like ice cream? Like I like ice cream. It's a horrible food, but it's so tasty. It's one of those foods you just can't stop eating it. There's a place near my studio here called Disco Yo. It's an ice cream parlor shop, and it's one of those fancy ones where they've got like 2,000 different flavors and 5,000 different things to put on it. It's a multitude of roads to take to your eventual cardiac arrest. They don't do real well, especially during the winter, but they have all these things, and it's just a fun place to basically kill yourself with sugar. So I walked into the place yesterday. I did this. This is a true story. All right. You want to make it like a whole truth? Okay, fine. so sorry. I'm talking to somebody else. All right, so I walk into the place, and there's a girl behind the counter, and she looks like she's no more than 5 years old. I think she's still got braces and pimples all over her face, and she's young. That's the kind of people you hire for ice cream places, young, fanciful girls. And I walk in there, and I say, hey, do you have any, like, sugar-reduced ice cream, you know, like no sugar added, I think is what they call it? And she says to me, are you a diabetic? And I said, I don't know, do you have crabs? I mean, why are you asking me something like that? Why are you asking about my medical condition? Isn't there a HIPAA law here? Or a HIPPO law for you? I said, no, I don't have diabetes, but I don't like to sit there and eat tons of sugar. And I know that in ice cream, there's like 18 grams of sugar per teaspoon or something like that. And then I put all the crap on top, the nuts and the jelly beans and the syrups and the hot fudge, and I'm probably talking about like tons of sugar here, and I'm just saying to you, I didn't say all this is in my mind, but I said to her, do you have any like low sugar ice cream? And she said, no, we don't. And I looked at her, I stared at her, and I said, I felt like saying, like she owns a place, she doesn't own the place, obviously, but I said, like, you don't? I said that. I said, you don't? I questioned her. I questioned her. And she says, no. She says, I don't know. Maybe someday they'll come out with that. I said, like, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The Blitzkrieg? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to come out with some kind of ice cream that has a lower amount of sugar? I mean, it's done. How come you don't have it? You're an ice cream expert parlor, and yet you don't have any... Don't you have any feelings for your customers? Do you think all your customers are these lecherous earthworms that just like to consume tons of sugar? No, some of your customers could be concerned about their own health. They don't have to have diabetes. They might just not want to take in that much sugar yet still enjoy the flavor. Can't you ice cream specialist people come up with something like that? Maybe a few flavors. I'm not looking for 50 flavors of low sugar ice cream. I'm looking for maybe for five, maybe five different types. Can you handle that? So I get out of my store, she said. No. And it pissed me off. It pissed me off. This is 2006. What is this? What? 2015. And these ice cream boutiques don't offer anything that's like a low sugar. Why not? I just wanted to say that because that bothered me. There are so many businesses I should be going into, but I don't have the capital to go into all these things. But I would come up with my own line of ice cream that had sugar alcohol in it. I don't know what sugar alcohol is, but it's not real sugar, and it's got the word alcohol in it, and like I'm not arguing with any of that. But if they can come up with an ice cream that is like low in sugar, maybe about 2 or 3 grams of sugar per serving, and you know what a serving is, it's a teaspoon. Nobody just has a teaspoon of ice cream. Give me a break here, man. Even a third of a cup, a whole third of a cup of ice cream, well, can you spare it? And I could come up with an ice cream like that in multiple flavors that Edie's, I don't know what the fuck it's called, but they have that like in a couple of flavors. So like there should be a company that has like, that's it. Like, you know, finally, ladies and gentlemen of the world, an ice cream, you can have as much as you want and it's not going to kill you. It's not eating tons of sugar. I could make a fortune. The other thing, which I've brought up 1,000 times, and nobody wants to go into business with me, and I don't know why, because I shower on a regular basis, chocolate-flavored chewing gum. And I know you can get it online. Yeah, chocolate-flavored chewing gum. Why is that not in every single store? Ladies and gentlemen, if there was chocolate chewing gum, would you not eat that thing day and night? Would you not be chewing like crazy? Everybody loves chocolate, except for people that don't like chocolate, but all the other people love chocolate. Why would you not continually have this taste in your mouth and chew it all the time? I don't know. Why don't they have these little, you know, those little mint things, you know, that you pop in your mouth? What do you call those things? You know, the mint things you pop in your mouth? Why is there not chocolate mint flavor? Chocolate, again. What is this? Everybody loves chocolate. Oh, I love chocolate. Chocolate, chocolate. Oh, my God. I love chocolate fountains. Chocolate. Oh, a piece of chocolate. Chocolate. They love chocolate. But yet, it's not available in many, many things. There's no chocolate mints. There's no chocolate chewing gum. There is chocolate chewing gum online, but I do not buy my chewing gum online. That's like, this is something that you would buy in a convenience store. You go on, I feel like I have some chewing gum. Whoa, okay, we can have some chewing gum in a week. Let's order some online. I mean, seriously, you don't do that. And by the way, the chewing gum, the chocolate chewing gum that you get online is not sugarless. They've perfected, the chewing gum people have perfected sugarless. You can't tell that there's no sugar in that thing. They've replaced it with something. I don't know what. Propane? I don't know. But it's sugarless, but it tastes like it's wonderful. Why can't they take that technology and put it into ice cream? In any event, that would be another one of my businesses, would be mass producing sugarless chocolate chewing gum or sugarless chocolate mints and putting them in supermarkets and in convenience stores. So it is a handy pickup item everywhere you go. I would be a billionaire. Do any of you want to go on do this with me? All you have to do is invest all the money. And I will take care of everything else. And I'll send you a postcard from Aruba. it doesn't get any simpler than that for you. Ladies and gentlemen, time to check your horoscope, your scope of horrors.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have in mind for you. Aquarius, take a chance on doing something that might leave a mark or a scar. Pisces, your lucky number is 781.57, but don't be off by so much as a decimal, or it means certain death. Aries, dance like no one is watching, because in your case, no one is. You're all alone in this world. Embrace that. Taurus, I have 3 words for you. Lubricants, lubricants, lubricants. Gemini, get ready for a big surprise courtesy of a shellfish allergy you didn't know you had. Cancer, now is a great time to buy that samurai sword you've been thinking about. The ninjas are closing in. Leo, hi Leo, how are you? Virgo, order the creme brulee, then leave without paying. This will lead to true love and a criminal record. Libra, lucky you. The stars are aligning. Good fortune and prosperity are coming your way and happiness Oh, wait, sorry, I skipped ahead. That's for Scorpio. Libra, make peace with your gods, for your time of reckoning is at hand. Sagittarius, remember that life is a marathon, not a sprint. But in your case, it might not hurt to step up the pace a little. The clock is running. And Capricorn, leave it alone. Stop picking at it or it won't heal. Try some coconut oil. And that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Well, back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're enjoying the show as much as you are. Hey, we're going to speak to a guest. He's a doctor, Dr. Sanjeev Agarwala. I didn't make that up. That's his name. And he's got a diploma, and it says all that crap on the diploma, believe me. We're going to talk about melanoma. Do you know what that is? Well, he'll explain it to you. When you get older, you add dermatologists to the list of doctors that you see on an annual basis. The list grows. The older you get, the list grows of how many different doctors you have to see. That's how you can tell your age. If someone says to you, how old are you? You can say, I don't know, but I can tell you how many doctors I have, and they can pinpoint your age. Or they can cut you open, they can slice you open and count your rings. But that's painful. Don't go there. The older you get, things start coming up on your skin. It's kind of weird. All of a sudden, you start growing shit. I have 7 fingers on one hand. It's kind of amazing. Now, you get these moles all of a sudden, and I don't know why. I don't know. You start getting little bruises and bumps and moles on you, and these things start. I mean, it's like you start sprouting stuff, and you need a doctor to say, that's okay. No, that's okay. That strange lump coming out of your face, that's okay. That's okay. And every once in a while, you know, they'll say, that might be precancerous. We're going to have to cut that off your face and check it out. They don't do that when you're young. They only do it when you're old. And here's the deal. It's if you don't take care of your skin when you're a youngin', it actually catches up with you like decades later. And you don't know that, and you don't believe it's true, but it is. You've got to protect yourself from the sun, even at an early age, and the daughter too. 'Cause that's what happens. That's a fact. Your skin starts going crazy when you get older. It starts growing stuff. It's like a vegetable garden and you didn't plant any seeds. Like what? What? And all you people that go to tanning beds, why don't you just stick a fork in your face, because you are done. You are going to pay for that so much. By the time you turn 50, people are going to call you Leatherface. Mm-hmm. And that's not complimentary, even though it may look like genuine leather. Bad. Don't. I mean, I don't know. If you own a tanning salon, good. But I'm just saying, in my opinion, that's not good. If tanning salons had sugarless chocolate chewing gum, we might be talking a different story here. But until they do, I got to tell you, just like check it out first. Just beware, man, because eek. All right, let's talk to Dr. Sanjeev Agarwala now about taking care of your skin against the sun, because I'm telling you, it is so important. All right, doctor. Doctor.
New England Brook?
Oh, doctor. The doctor is not ready for me yet. Doctor. All right, you know what? Let's see if the doctor's ready. Hold on, please.
Stand by.
Let's get him on the phone. Sorry. He's late. God. Doctor?
We have Mr. Van Dam online.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, Doctor. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, thank you. Let me get the proper pronunciation of your name, please.
It's Sanjeev Agarwala.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. You're speaking to the New England area, and we'll talk for about 6 or 7 minutes. All right. Are you ready to go, doctor? People are waiting for you.
Okay.
Dr. Sanjeev Agarwala joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are, you already know this, but you're with St. Luke's University Health Network in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He is the chief of medical oncology and hematology there. Thank you for being with us. What is melanoma? I mean, I think in general we kind of think it's a skin deal, but we don't know specifically, many of us.
Right, so you know, melanoma, as you mentioned, is a skin cancer, but it's the only one of the three types of skin cancer that's more dangerous than the others, primarily because it's the only one that has a chance to spread. You know, skin cancer in general, very common, like basal cell cancer or squamous cell cancer, they affect millions of people a year. Melanoma is much less common, thank goodness. It affects about 75,000 Americans a year, but it can spread to other organs, and once it does that, it's very hard to treat. So really picking it up early, diagnosing it early is very critical.
Okay. So I always think of skin cancer as being an external situation, and you're talking about it's spreading, but can it spreads from external to internal, or is it always internal?
Well, no, that's the scary part. It spreads from external to internal. So you're right. Skin cancer is an external issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, a little lesion on your skin, if it's a melanoma, does have a chance of months or years later showing up as a lesion in internal organs like the liver, the bones, the lungs, the brain even. So that is the scary part of melanoma.
Okay. Now, in a minute, we'll talk about how we can treat that and discover that. But I know that when you get older, you get into your later formidable years, that all of a sudden you start seeing a dermatologist. And by the way, very hard to get an appointment. Anyway.
Unfortunately, that's right.
Very, very hard. But you start seeing one on a regular basis because you're recommended to do so. Is that good enough, doctor, or is this something that should be tended to at any age?
Well, that's a good question. Certainly, if you have a family history of skin cancer or melanoma, then doing it at an earlier age, having a screening like that is better. Certainly, you know, many skin cancers, including melanoma, are related to cumulative sunlight exposure in some instances.
Yeah,
so,
right.
As you mentioned, when you get older, you tend to, you know, see a dermatologist or at least see a family doctor once a year and get a skin check as part of that.
Right.
The other thing I recommend is, you know, having an awareness of your own skin yourself. So melanoma often develops in a pre-existing spot called a mole or a nevus, as we call it.
Uh-huh.
And everyone has moles, and it's good to know how many you have, what they look like, because one of the major warning signs of melanoma is a changing mole.
Okay.
So if you have a lot of moles, for example, and some people do, you might want to see a dermatologist a little sooner for a screening exam.
Uh-huh.
Certainly, if you have a mole that's changing, you should go see someone relatively quickly.
Okay. Now, the big question is, once it is discovered, what do we do about it?
Right. So, you know, if you have a say, you know, typical story, a mole is changing, you go see a family doctor or a dermatologist, you get a biopsy, it comes back melanoma.
Mm-hmm.
They will direct you as to what to do. But the next step is to see a surgeon who hopefully is a specialist in this area, because it's very important to have it removed in the proper way. And what I mean by that is, depending on the depth of this melanoma, you may or may not need a procedure called a lymph node mapping procedure, which is done by usually a expert surgeon that knows how to do this. Because the idea is to really make a diagnosis and then also see if it has already spread to a lymph node in the area. Often the first place a melanoma spreads to from the skin is a lymph gland
that could
be close by. So you want to find that if possible.
Okay.
So that's the idea, is to get a good referral to someone who knows what they're doing.
Now, you're involved with a clinical trial, I understand.
I'm involved in many clinical trials, yes. Yes. Indeed, my work is focused on trying to treat melanoma patients. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So does this pertain to the general public? Are there clinical trials going on right now with
yes,
melanoma?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if people, you know, hopefully not, but if someone gets a diagnosis of melanoma, mm-hmm. and especially if it has spread, mm-hmm. then finding a melanoma center like ours here mm-hmm. at St. Luke's Cancer Center, we have not only treatment options, but clinical trials that are innovative. And yeah. I always believe a clinical trial is a very good way to get the best state-of-the-art care and hopefully improve that care at the same time.
Wow. You know, I had a little a skin cancer thing that was, you know, removed and it was just fine. But I said to my doctor, I mean, like, when did this happen to me? I mean, how did I get this? And she said, if you were out in the sun when you were a little child, that's probably where it came from. I said, excuse me, that was like so many decades ago, I can't even count it on my hands anymore. That affected me like all this time later, and that's how long it took to fester? She said, yes, and it blew my mind.
That's a very good point, and actually, she was exactly right. Sun exposure when you're younger is what comes back to haunt you later on in later life, because that damage when you're a child or a teenager is what often determines your melanoma and additional skin cancer risk in later decades.
Wow. So parents, like, did you hear that? Don't screw with that. You know, make sure your children are very well protected. And now we have this wonderful sunscreen stuff. There's no reason. And then I was told, like, yeah, when you go outside and get the newspaper, you're still being exposed. I said, I thought it was just the beach, but no.
Yeah, you know, that's very good advice to parents and grandparents and anyone who has younger people in their lives.
Wow.
It's they who need to be protected. Not that we should not protect ourselves. We should do that too. And you know, as everyone is aware, kids are just, they think they're invincible. You know, they're going to go out there, run around in the sun, swim in the pool. They need to have the sunscreen on, and not just once, but frequently during the day.
Yeah. So the secret to cancer is to catch it at its earliest possible time, and then you're usually just fine. And the way to catch it is to have it checked. And like you say, when you see your family doctor, make sure that they go over your whole body and look for stuff.
That's exactly right. Because, you know, family doctors are often busy. They have a quick visit.
Yeah.
You definitely want to point out anything you've seen. I always say melanoma diagnosis is a collaboration between you and your loved ones and your doctor. Because, you know, you know your skin best. And you should point out to the doctor, hey, that changed recently. Something's wrong here. Can you take a look?
True.
And then that might lead to a biopsy.
Yeah. And when you get older, you got tons of things all over your skin. It's like, what is this? Oh, my God. But do check it out. Hey, have we covered everything? Do we know? Well, let's find out where we can go for more information.
Well, certainly many websites for clinical trials, clinicaltrials.gov. We have an excellent website at St. Luke's Hospital here that gives you information. There's a lot of information out there. I think the idea is to find out what stage you're in, if you do have melanoma, and then try to find out where to go for treatment. Like you mentioned clinical trials earlier, we have some very interesting innovative studies for patients who had advanced melanoma, not early stage like we were talking about. Just a Google search will bring you tons of information. But for clinical trials, I would say clinicaltrials.gov.
Great. Dr. Agarwala, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, well, there's your words of wisdom as far as your skin's concerned. It's the outer layer that keeps everything in. It holds everything in. A lot of stuff going on with the skin, man. Get yourself a dermatologist. Can find one in the Dermatology Information Bank, the DIB. I don't know. It does take forever to get an appointment with a dermatologist. There aren't enough dermatologists. By the way, kids, if you want a great career, go to dermatology school. I think you have to be a doctor for that, so I think it's going to take you like 17 years of schooling to do it. But once you do, man, you'll be able to look at people's moles all day. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah. Or you could just open up a mole shop. You know, I'll give you my opinion on whether that's a good mole or a bad mole or what the hell that is. The worst thing is when you go to a dermatologist and they look at something, they go, I don't know what the fuck that is. Then you know you're in trouble. ladies and gentlemen, let's put our troubles behind us. Let's not talk about this stuff anymore. Let's be happy, put a smile on your face, enjoy the day, be happy that you're alive and feeling all right, hopefully. Until next time, which would be tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow on the program, the lovely and talented Victoria Wainwright, Tori Wainwright, joins us live here in the studio. You can listen at the same time tomorrow, anytime you want tomorrow, to hear Tori and myself go through some of the major topics of life. Until then, I wish you peace. May peace be with you, and also with you, and also with, no, but not you. And with you, and with you, and may peace be with you, and with you. You in the back, not you. No, not you. And not the person you sit next to either. No, not you. But the person there, three over from the left. Yeah, with you. With you and with you. And with you. And with, no, not with you. Not with you. Sorry. Sorry, not with you. The girl in the short skirt, whose crotch I can see. Especially you. Yeah, may peace be with you. Who's that next to you? Oh, no, not with you. Sorry, sir, not with you.